You're listening to The Record on KUOW. The Federal Highway Trust Fund is within a few weeks of going bankrupt. Back in the 1950s, under Republican President Dwight Eisenhower, the federal government built the interstate highway system. But now some conservatives in Congress want to get the federal government out of funding highway projects. They say government should be smaller because government spending is a drag on the economy. Is it? Lou Daly is director of policy and research at Demos. That's a public policy think tank in New York. In a report released this month, he says the public underestimates the return on investment of government spending.
I think it undervalues government in many ways. And the problem is the way we measure our government activities as part of our growth, because many public goods and services don't have market prices. And so what that means is that we simply take what we're spending, and that's considered government as part of our economy, part of our growth. So that assumes that government doesn't add any value. When we pay for teachers to educate our children to become high school graduates, many of whom in turn go on to become college graduates, which economists believe it's our human capital accumulation, our college graduates that have been our primary asset for economic growth since the mid-20th century. All we capture in GDP is what we're spending on education. We're not capturing the value of that spending.
How could one put a number on the value that accumulates from public spending on, say, education or roads, and make that into a figure that would realize its true impact on the economy?
I often get the question, well, aren't we looking at things like, okay, the value of highways? There are lots of individual studies and micro studies of things like, oh, say the Human Genome Project, which has just had a huge economic return. The problem is that we don't really aggregate these values in ways that can be incorporated into the GDP framework. So we sort of understand what's going on at the micro level based on specific kinds of studies, but those values aren't incorporated into the way we're understanding our national economy and to the policy debates related to that.
You're saying that we don't consider the true value of government spending mm-hmm. when it comes to looking at something like the gross domestic product. How does the fact that we don't consider government spending that way influence public policy discussions, particularly those about government spending?
Yeah, this is really the key question. So take the highway systems that you mentioned in the opening, our surface transportation infrastructure. One of the best studies on that shows a very significant return, $800 billion in private benefits yearly from our highways and transportation systems compared to about $185 billion in spending. You know, by market standards, that's a really great rate of return. The problem is that the economic gains from having good highways and good transportation systems are sort of passively attributed to our markets. Those values just flow into personal consumption or personal income in the GDP framework. They're misattributed. I would argue that the economic gains that we derive from our public assets, like our highways, should be attributed to those public assets.
Lou Daly heads the Beyond GDP Project. It's a campaign to advance alternative indicators of sustainability in American governance. Lou, is this idea that we need to realize and attach value to government spending gaining any traction anywhere? Is there anyone in government who's saying we need to take this calculation into account?
In our government research agencies, certainly this has been a long concern. The national academies have devoted a lot of resources to studying this issue. I wouldn't quite say that it's really caught on in terms of, okay, how do we implement some of these alternative metrics? I think that this is an issue whose time has come. I can't imagine that by, say, the middle of this century, we'll still be wedded to an accounting framework that was developed for the problems of the 1930s.
Republicans are traditionally small government folks. Democrats tend to have more faith in government. What about the political implications of taking another look at what government spending means for the overall economy? What does that do to kind of the core belief that smaller government is better?
That's one of the challenges, certainly. And as I think the research evolves and as more and more policymakers get interested in implementing these ideas. I agree with your point that this is increasingly going to become more of a political debate. If you take education, for example, you know, everyone recognizes that it's important to not just look at our income, say in a household or a country, but also to look at our assets. One of the areas of wealth that we're not measuring as part of our growth is our human capital, which is mainly from our investments in education. It's much bigger than our other forms of wealth, like investing in buildings and equipment. Yet our sort of development ideas that are based on the need for increasing our saving are a very important part of our public debate, a very important part of how we think about investment. If we put human capital at the center of our wealth, which is really the case through these new metrics, I think that will inevitably drive more investment toward education in terms of our obligations for our country's future.
Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
That's Lou Daly. He directs policy and research at Demos, an economic think tank in New York. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.